We'll continue our study in the third chapter of the Gospel of John. And in this third chapter, God has given us an ear into a private conversation between his son, Jesus Christ, and Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Now, this conversation is between God's provided Savior and a religious man who is lost. And we know that when you're lost, you have no power to see the kingdom of God, for that is what Jesus communicates to this lost man. Now, I think that all of us could see ourselves in the place of Nicodemus. God could have written this part of Scripture with blank spaces in the place where the name of Nicodemus is and said to insert your name, for this passage is meant to be said to all men who cannot see the kingdom of God. So God lets us listen to this private conversation, but it's meant to be directed at us also. For this passage, ye must be born again, is a personal message to all men, for all men need this conversation with Jesus Christ. You know, it's a wonderful thing to personally put yourselves in the Word of God and hear the Word of God as if it was written directly to you, for it is. But so many times we do not personalize the message of the Word of God, thinking that it applies to someone else. But God intends for you to be part of this conversation. Now, Jesus' imperative to Nicodemus that he must be born again in order to see the kingdom of God establishes an absolute that only creatures born of the Spirit of God will be allowed to stand in God's presence. This is a gate. This is a milestone. This is a place whereby everyone that stands in the presence of God has to go through. There's no buts about it. There's no wiggle room. There's no way to get around this. For Jesus declares an absolute. Now, that which took place between Satan and Adam in the Garden of Eden has brought all men into enmity with God, and only by divine intervention can anyone be fitted for his kingdom. That's the message we're learning. How important this message is. It is an absolute decree of God that a man has nothing within himself or outside of himself that will move him into a state acceptable to God, and therefore only by intervention on the part of man's creator. Now, think about that. Who else could do this? But man's creator, can this breach be closed? There's no other help, there's no other source, there's nothing within you as a natural man or without you as a natural man or a natural woman that can span this breach. And this divine intervention takes place by God's Spirit who births men, women, boys, and girls into new creations. He births people. That's how you come into the kingdom of God, through the new birth. The Apostle Paul expressed this truth in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, I love that word, therefore. We used to use that a lot in geometry. Remember those geometry theorems? You'd get to the end, you'd put the three dots, which meant therefore. You would say, boy, I'm glad I got here to therefore. Sometimes you didn't get there for some reason, and therefore you put the homework away and took the bad grade. But therefore, if any man be in Christ, what is he? He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, the modern thought is that nothing becomes new. You can go ahead and live in your sin, look like your sin, act like your sin, participate in the activities of your sin, and claim Christ. That's not what it says. It says all things become new. Pay attention to the Word of God. The new birth, a birth which brings you into the family of God, is exactly that, new. You know, you get something new, you get it home and you don't open the box and see frying grease on the pan. This isn't new. You know what's new. We all know what's new, but the world thinks that they comply with what's new by being old. Boy, they're blind. But it's brand new, resulting in a brand new creature. Old things pass away. All things become new. I can testify to this. I have been saved. I have been born again. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away, all things became new. My new life in Christ was different than my old life. And I think many of you can testify to that also. But God is spirit, and they which worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Again, we are faced with a must of God. You know, God has a lot of musts. Nowadays, you don't want to have musts in your life because it conflicts with your freedom to do what you please. But you know, Mother used to say, you must do this. You must put on your coat. It's cold outside. And then you go and leave your coat in and you freeze and you say, Mama was right. I should have put my coat on. A lot of musts in life. And here we're faced with a must of God, a decree of God, and that decree of God tells me I must worship him in spirit. And this can only be done by being born of his spirit, for the spirit of the natural man is dead and without any ability to worship. There's a lot of so-called worshiping going on by dead men. They're going through the motions. They see how worship is performed, and then they copy it and think they're worshiping God, and God is saying, you're dead. For since the Garden of Eden, man, as far as God is concerned, is dead. For as God told Adam, in the day that thou eatest of the tree of good and evil, thou shalt surely die. Now, Adam lived about 900 years, we're told in the scriptures. What's going on, God? I'm talking about your spirit. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about Adam's spirit. In the day he ate that, his spirit died. His ability to communicate with God died. His ability to worship God died. So that which brings life again to the man must be a new birth, a birth with a living spirit. When I was born again, I was given a living spirit because I was born of the Spirit. And in this, the Spirit of God begets in us a spiritual nature, as we read in 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Oh, how great. If they're so great, I can't reach to the first rung of their greatness. That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Do you have the divine nature? The divine nature comes through the Spirit of God because the Spirit of God begets his own kind. All of nature proclaims this principle. Everything begets its own kind. The evolutionists say, no, that's wrong. Everything came from the same thing. Well, the Bible says, no, you're wrong. Everything begets its own kind. In God's realm, this is the established order of things. That which comes from vegetables is not meat. Oh, look at my cow growing on my apple tree. That would be foolish. But that's what the evolutionists tell us. I've never seen a cow on an apple tree. I go out to the apple tree. What do I find, Phil? Apples. That which is born of animal is animal. That which is born of sinful man must be sinful man. That which is born of flesh is flesh. Now, it may be beautiful flesh. It may be cultured, refined, well-behaved, religious flesh. But you know what it is? It's still flesh. You can powder it up. You know, you ladies hopefully put some powder on. It used to be powder. I don't know what they do today. When my sisters were growing up, their powder all over the place. You know, they had these little compacts and pop, 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 boop, 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 you know, all over the place. Here was I was a little boy getting all this powder all over me. But you know what? They made their face beautiful, but when they washed it off, it was still the same face. It was still flesh. But, and thank God for the Spirit of God, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Wow, it's the same principle. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. God's a spirit. I'm a spirit. That which is born of God is divine and will reveal the same characteristics as the Father and have the ability to worship the Father. Now, the new birth, then, is the creation of a new man. It is a birth of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit births men, women, boys, and girls. It is being a new creation. It is becoming a partaker of the divine nature. Wow, we're becoming a partaker of the divine nature. What a privilege that is. Oh, we just go ho-hum about it. But it's great privilege. It is being born into God's family. It is being adopted sons. It is being adopted daughters. And pretty soon he throws away the word adopted. Without it, you cannot see the kingdom of God, for without it, God declares you to be dead. Now, how can a dead man see the kingdom of God? In the day you shall eat of it, Adam, you'll surely die. I can imagine that God was heart sick when it happened, if God can be heart sick. But Jesus then notices the startled look of Nicodemus and his marveling at such a thought. This was a face-to-face discussion. Perhaps they were sitting down. Jesus told him, Nicodemus, ye must be born again, which elicited a startled, astounding countenance. He marveled at such a thought, for he says in John 3:7, marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. Now, Nicodemus is startled. Here's a man that has invested his whole life in a way that seemed right to him, but according to this man, Jesus, it is the way of death. How about that? For contrary to your way of life. You go up to someone and you try to talk to them about Jesus. They've invested their life in the way of the flesh, and you're telling them that that way is death? Go away, they say. And Nicodemus marvels at this. But you know, the best rule of investment is to get out as soon as you realize that it is a losing investment. That came to me one day, right here in this auditorium, in this church. The preaching of the word grabbed my heart and said, what you've been doing is losing. You're going the wrong way. Grab a hold of Christ, which God's grace accomplished. But you take your losses and you get out of losing investments. Don't hang on to a certain loss because of pride and a false hope that things will turn out right. Things won't turn out right. They're not going to turn out right. God said they're not going to turn out right. How can they turn out right? You're dead. You go to a funeral, oh, things will turn out right as you talk to the man laying in the casket. Now that's silly, isn't it? Oh, yes, don't he look natural, but things will turn out right as they lower him into the ground. I see it every day on my street past Serenity Gardens. I notice everybody coming to my neighborhood. Last rites. Our former pastor, our founding pastor's there, isn't he? Well, his body's there. He's with the Lord. Fred Schmidt's body is there, but he's with the Lord. You've got some folks there too, don't you, Brother Brainerd? But they're with the Lord. Everything's turning out right for them. Why? Because they took their losses and got out. They saw they were in a losing investment, and they grabbed hold of God's cord of love. So Jesus says, marvel not. As he's saying, this is a self-evident truth. You know, if we could get to our heads self-evident truths, things so obvious, why don't people believe it? My wife and I marvel at God's creation. Just look at leaves and marvel at God's creation, the different kinds of leaves, and how God supplies every one of those leaves. Says, I wonder if I'm going to get my sap today. Oh yeah, you'll get your sap. Look how green I am today. And you see the flowers, and you see the trees, and you see the little ants working. These are self-evident truths that the scientists reject. Why? Because they're dead. They can't see the kingdom of God. God declared Nicodemus to be dead before Israel, and the law was given. Nicodemus, he knew Nicodemus was going to be born, but he was a son of Adam. And therefore he was dead. The sinful nature of man makes him blind to the things of God, and he cannot see anything or understand his own blindness. He doesn't even know he's blind. Isn't that how? That's the depth of blindness. That's the depth of blindness, that you don't even know you're blind. Now, you know, a blind man generally knows he's blind. He's out there with his white cane and walking. Maybe he has a dog with him. He knows he's blind. But can you imagine a blind man doesn't know he's blind? Well, that's the world. No amount of education or religious cultivation can change the basic nature of man. Jesus is saying to Nicodemus that God must intervene in his life if he is to see the kingdom of God. God has to intervene. Jesus is telling Nicodemus that the natural man is devoid of understanding spiritual things because he must have a spiritual nature to understand. People say, well, I've read the Bible, I just didn't understand it. Well, click. A big light came on. You're lost. You can't understand it without a spiritual nature. So Jesus is saying, quit trying to understand spiritual things without the nature to understand. If you lack a musical nature, can you gain one? I don't know how to play anything. I can play checkers. I don't have a musical nature. If you lack an artistic nature, can you learn one? Well, I don't think so. Those natures seem to be given to some people, but not all. Likewise, if you are to understand the kingdom of God, then you must be born into the kingdom of God. God has to do a work of grace in you, a work of unmerited favor in you, in order for you to be fit for the kingdom of God. Marvel not, he says. Boy, you know, if you put your mind to thinking, you should be able to come up with this conclusion. So, the message is, if you're lost, there's no reason to wait. There's no reason to hesitate. Admit that which God says is true and that what you say is false. Boy, that's hard to do. You hardly ever hear anyone say, you know what I thought was false. Most people will kind of try to wiggle out of it. But it calls upon a person to admit they're wrong. But we're to humble ourselves in the sight of God. And what does God say? He'll lift you up. What a wonderful God we have. You know, when I was a little boy, I was taken to parades. We used to have a lot of parades in Chicago. We had the 4th of July parade, and sometimes they would have a Norwegian parade at the Norwegian Park. There's parks for all kinds of ethnic groups in Chicago. Statues of Norwegian heroes and so on. And there, May 17th, that was yesterday, was Norway's Independence Day. But when I was a little boy and couldn't see at a parade, did I just say there, I can't see at a parade? No, I squealed. I can't see, Daddy. I got a problem, Daddy. Help me to see. My dad would lift me up, put me on his shoulders. I'd have my legs around his neck. I was higher than my dad. I could see more than my dad. He'd lift me up. I was high and lifted up. I was way above the crowd, and I could see better than most of the crowd. I had a position of prominence. Little boy, but what did I have to do? I had to admit I couldn't see. I didn't just stand there. Wish I could see. No, I cried. But down at my level, without the lifting of my father, it was hopeless for me to even try to see. I could pretend that I could see. Perhaps I could get a glimpse of the marching band, the baton twirlers, and the drill team through the legs of the onlookers. Perhaps a little peek here and there, just shadows of movement, just enough to pique my interest. And I could hear the music, the drums, the bugles coming down the road. But I needed someone outside myself to see the parade. Now, in this child's example, pride does not get in the way. Oh, how pride gets in the way. I'm not going to admit I can't see. I'm just going to stand here and look at someone's backside. You know, a child doesn't do that. A child cries out. Little child in the bed, looking over the rail, Mama, let me out. Child doesn't lay down and just say, I'm going to lay down here, and nobody needs to help me. But there was a need, and the child knows that the father will provide for that need. He cries out to the father in trust, and the father responds. The father lifts him up to the right height and supports him so he may see. Boy, what a message that is to sinners. Sinners are in the same position as the little child at a parade. They are helpless and must call upon someone bigger than they in order to see the kingdom of God. They must have a father that can lift them up, but pride can get in the way. Now, what did Jesus say about this? to pique our minds, to focus our minds on what I just said. He said, the sinner must come to him as a what? A little child. You say, well, that's hard. How can I come? Do I have to be a little child to be saved? No, the message is you have to humble yourselves and ask for help. And admit that you cannot do what needs to be done. A trusting child who realizes his helplessness and must have help to see the things God wants him to see. A trusting child. That helper, by the way, is God alone. There is no other source of help. There's nothing within that child. There's nothing without that child. It's only God alone. You know, God has made his creation with fathers and mothers and sons and daughters. It reflects his realm. It reflects his realm. It teaches us about his realm. When the little child grabs hold of mom's leg in fear of something, what an expression of trust that is, that we're supposed to trust in God. So this is how we are to see ourselves related to God. We are his children. He is our father. As a child trusts his father, we are to trust our father in heaven. Just like that. Simple, without encumbrances, without pride, without holding on, thinking that we can do it. We call out to God and say, God, lift me up so I can see. Not a matter of intelligence, but it is a matter of trust, a matter of faith in one's Father. But you know, only our Father in heaven can boost you high enough to see the kingdom of God, the everlasting kingdom prepared for a prepared people. You're not going to go there if you're not prepared. How would you like to have someone say, okay, we're going to China today? What? Well, let me have a few days to get prepared. No, we're going today. That's silly. Everyone needs preparation. And God is saying, I'm going to prepare you to see the kingdom of God. And that is why Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. So seeing the startled face of Nicodemus, Jesus adds to his instruction, and we'll just read this and end it here in John 3:8. What a wonderful passage this is. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Have you ever seen wind? Oh yeah, I see wind. Did you ever see wind? No, you haven't seen wind. You've seen the effects of wind. You've seen the trees move. You've seen the debris blow. Perhaps you've been in a hurricane and you've seen buildings fall. You've seen the effects of wind, but you haven't seen the wind. And Jesus is going to use this to talk about the work of the Holy Spirit. Remember, you must be born again. Who are you born again of? You're born of the Spirit of God. That's how you get the nature of the Spirit of God. You can't get the nature of the... Would you get the nature of someone else's father? No. You get the nature of your father. And here you get the nature of the Spirit by which you're born. So next week, the Lord willing, you never know about what happens this coming week. But next week, the Lord willing, we're going to go into this passage. Isn't this a wonderful passage? Hope you love the Word. The Word is life. The Word is life. And you know, if you're in the Spirit, what's your food? What's your food? Oh, I like steak. Oh, I like fast food. Oh, I like all this and that. But do you feed on the Word of God? How are you going to feed the Spirit with fast food? The Spirit doesn't like fast food. The Spirit likes the Word. And that's where we ought to be dwelling, in God's Word, loving God's Word, having God's Word rest in our hearts. And let the Spirit feed you and grow you by His Word. Father, we are thankful. We're so thankful, Father, for this conversation with Nicodemus and the wonderful truths that our Lord give to him. But Lord, help us to take this personally. Help us to put ourselves in the place of Nicodemus, face to face with Jesus Christ, hearing these must words from Jesus Christ, not sloughing them off, not casting them away as useless, but looking at them as the most valuable words for a lost sinner. And bless those, Father, that are listening today here and online and in the radio station, wherever it would be. We pray that they would listen and heed and be born again, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.